George Frederick Handel, one of the greatest composers of the Baroque period. Listen closely, as there will be a small quiz at the end of this tape. If George Frederick Handel could be described in one word, the word would be tenacious. A tenacious person is very persistent. He holds on tightly to what he wants and can't be distracted easily from it. A pit bulldog is a perfect example of tenacity. When a pit bulldog attacks something, it locks its jaws. It is impossible to get the dog to let go of its prey. The bulldog will hang on tightly for hours. It will not let go until it decides to. Nothing else will make it change its mind. George Friedrich Handel could be considered the pit bulldog in music history. From the day he was born on February 23, 1685 in Germany, until his death in 1759, Handel was a very tenacious individual. Whenever he decided something, he did not change his mind easily. He stuck to it. As a little boy, Handel became very interested in music. His father, George, was the court surgeon and a barber. In those days, the doctor was also the barber, and that's what his father did for a living. He wanted his son, George, to study law. When he found that Handel was spending time investigating music, Handel's father was horrified and promptly told Handel that he was not to play any instrument. Handel's father was afraid that Handel would become interested in music and not want to study law. Fate would have it that his father's worst fears were about to become a reality. However, George wanted to learn about music. He did not give up easily, just like a pit bulldog wouldn't give up easily. Handel sneaked a little clavichord into the attic of his house. Now, a clavichord is a small keyboard instrument. It doesn't play very loud, so way up on the top floor, no one would hear it down on the other floors. Handel practiced on the clavichord after the rest of his family went to sleep. One day, when Handel was about 7 years old, his father decided to take a trip to see the Duke. Now, a Duke was like the prince's brother. Handel's older brother worked at the Duke's palace. Handel had heard many exciting stories of what a Duke's palace was like, but it was not enough for this inquisitive mind to hear about the court. He wanted to see it for himself. Handel begged his father to take him along on the trip, but no matter what Handel said or did, his father said, "No, George." George Frederick was very disappointed. The day of the journey arrived. The Duke's carriage came to pick up Father. Handel's family waved goodbye as the carriage drove off, but George was not there waving goodbye. His mother, Dorothy, thought, "Oh, poor George. He must be hiding in his room because he can't go." But Handel was not hiding in his room, sulking. He was hiding, though. He was hiding down the road and was very excited. He had decided that if he could not ride to the court with his father, then he would follow the carriage to the Duke's castle. Some distance down the road, Handel's father glimpsed a tired, dusty 7-year-old boy running behind the carriage, but he didn't recognize who he was. Imagine his surprise when the carriage stopped and he found that it was his own son, George. What do you think your father would have done at this point? Well, it was too late to take George back home. He decided he just would have to load him up in the carriage and take him to the Duke's castle with him. Handel had a wonderful time at the Duke's court. There were so many things to get into, so many things for a 7-year-old to play with and explore. But by far the most exciting thing to Handel was the organ. One day, as people were leaving the room, Handel slipped away to the organ. Now, in these castles, the kings or the princes or the dukes would have their own chapel so they wouldn't have to go into town to go to church. And they would have the church come to them. And they had their own private churches, their own private chapels, and the people who worked in the castle with the king would go to worship at that chapel with them. And that's why the duke had an organ in his chapel. The people who worked for the duke or for the king or for the prince in the castles were called the court. And so the duke's court were the people that helped the king conduct his business and manage the affairs of his kingdom. Now, at this time, there was an organist who was very sympathetic to Handel, and he saw the desire that Handel had to play the organ, and so he let him play. Handel played many of the pieces he had practiced on his clavichord. Outside in the hall, the duke's ears perked up. Someone was playing the organ. He was very impressed. "Who is playing the organ?" he cried. Handel's brother looked in the room. There he was mortified when he saw his brother George sitting at the organ. "Sire, it's my younger brother George Frederick," he apologized. "Bring your brother and your father to see me immediately," ordered the duke. When George walked into the room with his father, the duke was amazed. "This boy is only very young," he said. "He has so much talent." The duke turned and looked at the father and said, "It's your decision what you do with your own son. But I think it would be a great crime to rob the world of such a genius by not allowing him to study." And so, George got the music lessons he always wanted when he and his father returned to their home in the village. Handel's teacher was the organist for the local church. His name was Friedrich Wilhelm Zachow. He taught Handel many important things. He taught Handel about figured bass and the principles of harmony. He also taught Handel how to play in both the German and Italian styles. This was very helpful to Handel later on and led to his becoming the first international composer. Zachow also taught Handel to compose. He even let Handel compose some pieces for the church. But Handel's father was just as stubborn as George was. He could study music lessons if he wanted, but he still had to study law. And so Handel went and studied law. However, while studying law, his father died. No sooner did his father die than he pursued a career in music. His first position was as a church organist, but he gave up this position for what would become his musical love for many years, the opera. He moved to Hamburg and became involved in the opera. Now you might wonder, boy, a teenager going into opera? But opera was the hot music of the day. You turn on the radio today and you hear rock music or pop music, but if there were radios in those days and they were turned on, you would have heard opera arias, because in those days it was very, very exciting to the people. And so Handel wanted to become not a rock star, but an opera composer. He moved to Hamburg and became involved in the opera. In 1704, Handel was playing in the orchestra for one of the operas. In those days, the composer usually played the harpsichord in the orchestra. But in this opera, the composer, whose name was Matthiessen, had a part in the opera. So Handel was to play the harpsichord until Matthiessen's character died on stage. Then Matthiessen would come down and play the harpsichord for the last half hour of the show. One evening, Matthiessen came to the harpsichord to play the last half hour, but Handel refused to move. Maybe he was having too much fun or felt he was a better harpsichordist than Matthiessen. Or maybe Handel just thought it was silly that Matthiessen would play for just a half an hour. But whatever the reason was, Handel decided that he was going to play the harpsichord. And like the pit bull that dug his teeth in, he dug his fingers into those keys and nothing was going to make him budge. Matthiessen was furious. And after the show, he challenged Handel to a duel. That evening, after the opera was over, they went off to duel things out. Things could have ended very unhappily, but Matthiessen's sword broke, so they stopped. But Handel decided that he didn't want to play the harpsichord for someone else's opera. He wanted to play for his own. In 1705, Handel's first opera, Almira, was performed. It was a great success. 19-year-old Handel was very, very happy. About this time, Handel met the Prince of Tuscany, who invited Handel to come to Italy with him. Handel was very excited about the idea. Even though his opera had been a great success to the public, it had not made Handel a big success with many of the musicians in Hamburg, this young 19-year-old upstart who was showing everyone up. They were very jealous of this extremely young, talented composer. They didn't want him around taking their jobs. And Italy was such a faraway country with so many new things to see. So, in 1706, Handel packed his bags and headed south to Italy. Italy was kind of the New York of the day. All the entertainers, all the musicians, would love to be able to go to Italy. When Handel arrived in Rome, he found it very run down. It was a filthy city. Men wore a sword or a pistol at all times because there were so many thieves. Handel did not speak Italian, although he learned it very quickly and extremely well during the 4 years he spent in Italy. But that did not help him during the time after he arrived in Rome. However, this was not the biggest problem. Handel found that opera, his first love, had been banned from Rome. Well, nothing was going to stop him. If he couldn't write an opera on the stage, then he would write an opera for the church. And so that is what he did. He took away the drama, well, not the drama. He kept the drama in there, but he took away the scenery and the costumes. He wrote a story and set it to music with recitatives and arias and choruses and called it an oratorio. The music was composed and the rehearsals were well underway. Then, just before the oratorio was to open for the public to see, Handel received a notice from the religious officials of the city. They were furious with Handel because he was letting a woman sing a solo in the oratorio. Now, if that happened today, it wouldn't be Handel that would be run out of town. It would be the officials of the city. Women in this time period were never supposed to sing in a religious setting. Women weren't very well thought of. As a matter of fact, in England, they were thought of as property. Women were thought of as a little above animals and a little below men. They thought great leaders like Queen Elizabeth were flukes. They couldn't understand how that could possibly happen. It was just kind of a freak incident. Women have come a long way since then. But anyway, women were not supposed to sing in a religious setting, and the officials of the city were very upset at Handel. Handel quickly placed a male soprano in that part. Now, you might think the ideas toward women were strange. This concept of a male soprano was even stranger, and much of Europe thought the Italians were really strange for this one concept. And that is, since they couldn't have women sing the soprano parts, they would fix men so they would be able to permanently. And these men were highly paid and highly respected in Italy for taking these high soprano parts. And that's exactly what Handel did. He employed what they called a castrati, a male soprano, for the part that was to be played by a woman in the oratorio that he had staged, which was called the Resurrection, La Resurrezione. When the Resurrection opened, the Italians loved it. Handel was a success again. While he was in Italy, Handel was able to meet several of the leading Italian composers. One of these composers was the famous, wonderful violinist, Corelli. Handel and Corelli were such opposites. It is amazing that they developed a friendship. While Handel was very energetic and often loud, show-offy, Corelli was very quiet and sweet and humble. One time when Corelli was playing his violin for some people, someone in the audience began to talk, so Corelli stopped playing. When someone asked why Corelli had stopped, he replied, I didn't want to interrupt the conversation with my playing. Handel's fiery personality would never have tolerated such treatment from the audience. He probably would have spit on him or thrown his music stand at him. Now, one of the greatest friends that he had in Italy was Domenico Scarlatti. He was also a great keyboardist of the time. He was the son of Alessandro Scarlatti. Both of the Scarlattis were fine composers. Domenico Scarlatti was a very good harpsichordist. Some of the noble people of Italy thought it would be very interesting to have a contest between Scarlatti and Handel to see who was the best keyboardist. So the date was set, and judges were arranged. The two friends competed first on the harpsichord. The judges had a difficult decision, but they finally placed Scarlatti on the top for his elegant, delicate playing. But it did not take the judges long to choose Handel as the winner on the organ. He played with force and brilliancy that the Italians had not heard before. Several years later, Scarlatti heard someone playing the organ. He knew immediately that it must either be his friend Handel or the devil, because no one else could play the organ that way. Finally, Handel was able to compose an opera in Italy. When he moved to Venice, his opera Agrippa was very popular. The Italians loved it. In 1710, Handel returned to Germany. He had promised to visit the court of the Elector of Palatine. The Elector wanted to hire Handel as a composer. However, on the way there, Handel stopped at the court of the Elector of Hanover. This elector made Handel a better offer and even gave Handel a 12-month leave of absence to go to England. So Handel took the job at Hanover, greatly disappointing the Elector of Palatine. Handel enjoyed his trip to England immensely. His friend's father, Alessandro Scarlatti, was in England composing. Handel had the chance to play for Queen Anne, where everyone at court was very impressed by his performance. Handel wrote the opera Rinaldo, and it was put on. The English loved it. Handel had been successful in 3 countries with his operas, Germany, Italy, and England. All too soon, Handel's time was up. He dashed back to Hanover to write a few quick pieces for the Elector. Then he asked for another leave of absence. The Elector was not happy, but he told Handel to go on as long as he returned within a reasonable amount of time. Unfortunately, Handel's idea of a reasonable amount of time was quite a bit different from what the Elector had in mind. 2 years later, he was still in England having a great time. The English loved his music, and Handel loved England. Suddenly, a big problem arose. The King of England died. Because of the way political power worked in Europe at this time, the new King of England was none other than Handel's boss, the Elector of Hanover. This presented a very sticky situation. Handel no longer had a job in Germany, and if he wanted to stay in England, he had better do something quick to regain his former employer's good graces. A friend saw Handel's predicament and came up with a brilliant way to get Handel back into the good standing with King George. This friend, who also happened to be a relative of the king and the royal family, knew that King George was going to have a party along the River Thames. He thought, why don't you get some musicians together, write some music, and we'll put the musicians on a boat, and we'll float it past the party so the king can hear your music. Well, his friend arranged to have another boat with musicians on it playing the new music composed by Handel. As the boat came floating down, the king and his party thought, where's that music coming from? They looked around, and here came this boat floating down the river with all these musicians playing this gorgeous music. The king and the party ran over and saw who it was, and there was his friend Handel. The king was so excited to see him and so excited about having that music there, because this was an introductory party where the king met a lot of new people, and it was very important to the king that it went off really well. And when he saw all his guests love this idea about the boat floating down with music and everything, he thought, oh, wow, look what's happening. Look how these people think this is such a great party. And now they'll think I'm a great person for having thought of this idea. And so he ran up to Handel. He says, hey, let's do it again. And he had Handel float back up the river and then try it again several more times. The music that Handel wrote for that occasion is now called water music. And Handel was forgiven by the king. In 1718 to 19, a bunch of English noblemen got together and organized the Royal Academy of Music, which put on Italian operas. Italian opera was very popular at this time, as I told you before. Handel not only composed, but also directed and played the harpsichord. His operas were very, very popular. But he had some problems with some temperamental singers. You see, in those days, people went to the opera to see the famous singers. The composer of the music was not very important to them. Now, if a singer didn't like a certain song that was in an opera in these days, and it came time for the performance, if he didn't want to sing it, sometimes they would substitute another song that might not have even fit in with the storyline at all, and they would sing another completely different song at that part just because it showed off his voice a lot better than the one the composer had originally written in at that time. Now, the singers had very, very large egos because of their popularity and because of their stardom, which made them very hard to work with. One day, during a rehearsal, the tenor Cuzzoni became very angry with Handel for playing too much on the harpsichord. Cuzzoni did not want people to notice Handel's remarkable harpsichord skills. He wanted them to notice his magnificent voice. When Handel refused to simplify his harpsichord accompaniment, Cuzzoni grew irate. If you don't do as I say, he screamed at Handel, I will jump on your harpsichord, and then you will not play any more accompaniment. But Handel didn't let him stop at that. He quickly replied, let me know when you will jump, and I will advertise it, for more people will come to see you jump than to hear you sing. Well, you can imagine how this went over with the tenor. Handel also had to deal with the intense jealousy that arose between these vain singers. This jealousy was so strong that once during a performance, a fight broke out right on stage between the two leading ladies. Boy, I wish I could have been there. No wonder Handel was very disgruntled with opera stars. At one point, Handel even wanted to fire his opera star main singer, but he was so popular of an attraction that Handel decided not to do that. In 1728, a new opera appeared on the scene in London that would change the future of Italian opera drastically. This opera was called The Beggar's Opera, and it was in English. People could now understand the words. Remember that one of the important historical happenings of the Baroque was the translation of the King James Version of the Bible into English. People started to want things to be in their own language. No more Italian opera. They wanted English opera. English audiences began demanding opera in English. They were bored with Italian. They couldn't understand it. I'm sure you can relate to that. Handel tried to push Italian opera very hard. And even though Handel was writing fantastic operas, his audiences were growing smaller for several reasons. Perhaps the biggest reason was that not only were the opera stars fighting, but the royalty was fighting too. The Prince of Wales did not like his father, the King of England, at all. I mean, this was a hatred that grew deeper than Dad asked him to take out the garbage and he didn't want to do it, so he was going to hate him forever. I mean, this guy, they really didn't like each other. And the king supported Handel's opera, so the prince decided that he would support a rival opera company, which brought in the well-known composer Nicola Porpora. this rival company was able to persuade Senesimo and all of the Italian singers, except ones who were performing for Handel, to leave and join their company. And while there may have been room in London for one Italian opera company, there certainly was not room for two. The political problems presented by the king and his prince taking sides just catapulted the finish of the two companies. Now you can imagine, if you wanted to make points with the king, you wanted to make sure you went to his opera. If you wanted to make points with a prince, you'd have to go to his opera. But the best way to play it, the people thought, was, hey, I'm not going to go to either one, so neither of them thinks that I'm supporting either of them in case something happens to either of them and I'm stuck supporting the other who is on the downside, if that makes sense. In other words, everyone just decided they would stay away. So who came out the winner? No one did. Neither of the opera companies were able to make it. Handel stubbornly kept composing, producing, and directing. But finally, in 1739, he called it quits. Because he remembered, I remember in Italy, when a problem like this happened, I started producing an oratorio, and it worked. Maybe it would work now. So in 1739, he wrote an oratorio called Saul. Oratorios were not expensive. They were just like an opera, kind of, except they didn't have the expensive sets and the expensive costumes. You just had a choir and a few soloists, and they just sat on stage, and you had the orchestra, and that was it. No expensive sets to produce. One other thing about the oratorio that pleased the English public was that the oratorios that Handel wrote were in English. They could understand what they were about. In 1741, Handel wrote another oratorio. It was performed in Ireland to raise money for several charities. This oratorio has become one of the most famous works ever written. This was the oratorio, The Messiah. It was a great success in Ireland, so Handel decided to put it on in London when he returned. However, it failed in London, and Handel suffered a stroke. When Handel recovered from the stroke, he decided to have an organ built in the Foundling Hospital, a hospital for children who had been deserted. Then every year, the Messiah was produced there to raise money for the hospital. It was at this benefit concert that the London public finally approved of Messiah. And it has been performed almost every year ever since then. If you're watching carefully around Christmas time, you may notice a performance of The Messiah being staged in your area. In 1749, Handel was asked to compose the music for a huge celebration that would celebrate the signing of a peace treaty between many of the European countries. The music was to accompany a huge fireworks display. Handel used the largest ensemble of instruments ever used to that point of time. This music was called the fireworks music. Handel was growing old. In 1753, he lost his sight. Many people were deeply moved as they watched the great master be led to the organ and then play by feeling his way around the keys. He practiced constantly during these years. He'd never got married. He had no family. Finally, in 1759, George Friedrich Handel died. He had had many struggles in his career. He had had to please the public and deal with arrogant opera singers that many of his contemporaries, including Bach, did not. Yet he still managed to hold on to his ideals and compose music that would last forever. Ah, it's the time you've been waiting for, the quiz. There are 8 questions. After asking the question, I will pause for about 4 seconds to allow you time to give the answer. If you need more time than this, pause the tape. Let's begin. Number one, was Handel a great composer of the classic period or the Baroque period? Handel was a great composer of the Baroque period. Number two, did Handel's father want him to study music or law? Handel's father wanted him to study law. Number three, when Handel was a teenager, what kind of music did he want to write? Handel wanted to write opera. Number four, were women allowed to sing in the church of Handel's day? No, women were not allowed to sing in the church of Handel's day. That didn't come until the later 1700s. Number five, when the city fathers of Rome outlawed opera, what did Handel start writing? Handel started writing oratorios. Number six, were opera singers easy to get along with in Handel's day? No, they were very temperamental, many of them. Number seven, tell the story of how Handel's water music came to be composed. You may wish to pause the tape. Handel composed the water music to be played on a barge as it floated down the river to come back into the good graces of the king. Number eight, was Handel's famous oratorio, The Messiah, a hit when it was first performed in London? No, it was not. How did you do? If you got all eight questions correct, you were ready to go on to side two. If not, you may wish to keep listening until you have mastered all the material on side one. When you have, run the tape to the end and turn it over.